You're listening to Australia's fastest growing podcast network. This is the Lifestyle Pod Network. You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 173. And for those of you listening in real time on the day that this is put up, I'd love to wish you all a happy new year. This is the first week in 2016. So happy new year, happy new dreams, happy new insights. Today's show, we're going to be looking at a few things, including why is it that we can dream, or even children can dream, of things that they haven't even experienced before? You know, we'll go into this in some detail, but when you sometimes look at children's dreams or even our dreams, and they are about events, for example, a tsunami. You might not have been in a tsunami, seen a tsunami, even ever heard of a tsunami, and yet you can dream of it. You know, you can dream of traveling in certain forms of transport that don't even exist. You know, how is it that we can actually summon up these magical, amazing, really realistic feelings and experiences in our dreams when we apparently haven't actually experienced them in our real waking life? So we'll be looking at that, a combination of that and a little insight into children's dreams with some stories of my own from my own childhood, and delving into how to really nail the emotions that you're feeling in dreams. After that, we'll be looking at a slightly different angle at alchemy and dream alchemy as I use it, exploring the saying, as above, so below, and how that relates to dreams and dream alchemy. And then we're finishing today with, I'm going to half read and half talk about one of the chapters in my book, Dream Alchemy, which is published by Hachette. And thank you to those of you who send me these emails. I still receive so many emails from people saying how much they've got from my book, Dream Alchemy, how much it helps them, how much they keep it with them on a daily, morning basis. And so I thought, for those of you that haven't read it, it is still available in paperback, of course. It is still in print and being sold all over the place. And it's also available as an e-book, which has been also published by Hachette. So I thought I'd introduce how the book is set out and give some examples that relate to what we're talking about today, how to examine a dream, how to nail the emotions in it, how to work out what it's how it relates to your waking life, and how to do some dream alchemy, just to give you a bit of an insight into the book and how it's used. Before we go all there, we'd love next show to have a guest on the show. As you know, quite a few of our episodes of The Dream Show do feature a guest who can be someone anywhere in the world. Yes, it could even be you. And we phone you or Skype you, and you tell me your dream for the first time, and we record the process of you and I talking about your dream, interpreting it, finding out what it means, how it relates to your waking life. It's something that you volunteer to do. You get from it, obviously, you get a free consultation. everyone's listening. So what you give by doing this is you contribute your dream and our conversation about your dream for all our listeners to learn something about themselves and their dreams. So if you haven't been a guest on The Dream Show before and you'd love to be a guest on The Dream Show for our next episode, please just go to my website, which is at janetheresa.com. Look on the menu for The Dream Show and how to be a guest on The Dream Show, and you'll find how to contact me to volunteer to do that. I look forward to hearing from you. And again, just before we start, my website address, janetheresa.com, for everything else. And also, you can find me on Facebook, all the usual places in social media. So enough of that, and let's begin. So I thought we'd start by reading a blog that I wrote in July 2015 called Understanding Children's Dreams, which begins to delve into some of the issues that I said we'd cover today. So Understanding Children's Dreams. I have a 3-year-old patient who is having vivid nightmares of things he has never seen or experienced, like children trapped in a large hole or something very violent like killing. He has never seen anything violent or scary or had experiences of these. I received this inquiry last week. The practitioner asked how such young children can dream so vividly of things they have never experienced. We might ask the same question of our adult dreams, but let's stay with young preschoolers, because their limited worldly experience makes it even more intriguing, and because it's something anxious parents frequently ask me. It's a question that puzzled and frightened me during my early childhood, when I dreamed of looming tsunamis, threatening packs of wolves, and snakes at the bottom of my bed. In my early teenage years, reflecting on these dreams, I thought I must have heard stories and fairy tales about snakes and wolves that influenced my dreams, but tsunamis, back when I was a child and sheltered from the news and media, were a phenomenon I was sure I hadn't heard about, far less experienced. By my mid-teens, still suffering recurring tsunami dreams, I thought about how scared I had always been of the waves when we paddled in the cold English summer seas, and wondered which came first, the tsunami dreams or the waking life reality. Were my dreams, I wondered, drawing on my long-standing fear of waves? As I grew older still, I began to think that my recurring dream of the path where I encountered the threatening pack of wolves was a past life memory. That I seemed to be a boy in this dream strengthened that feeling. I began to look at the snakes and tsunamis in a different light. As I grew older and wiser, I noticed how strongly these dreams worked as metaphors for my waking life experiences at the time. Scared and overwhelmed by towering waves of emotion seemingly appearing out of nowhere, my tsunamis, threatened and blocked from moving forward along my path, my wolves, and feeling cramped and trapped when I needed to feel relaxed and safe, my snakes. I say my tsunamis, my wolves, my snakes, because our dreams are personal and unique. You probably noticed that all three of these recurring childhood dreams were metaphors for struggling to find my personal space and boundaries. As an adult looking back, I have named some of the emotions I was feeling: scared, overwhelmed, threatened, blocked, cramped, and trapped. But if I'd been asked to describe these dreams when I was a child, my words and body language would have been more revealing. If you are a parent anxious about your child's dreams, an adult looking back on your childhood dreams, an adult reflecting on your current dreams, or a practitioner working with children who happen to mention their dreams, go straight to this bottom line. What are the emotions the dreamer is feeling in the dream? How do these emotions relate to the day or two before the dream? Match the dream metaphor to the waking life experience to help deepen your insight. Returning to the original question, how is it that young children can dream of things they have never seen or experienced? Their symbols may come from stories, songs, books, videos, commercials, television and radio news, listening to and watching older children play and adults interact. Their symbols may come from everyday life, like big waves at the beach, or from archetypal resonances, like things coming to an ending, maybe feeling like death, things beginning, maybe feeling like birth. Their dream symbols may even come from past life memories or parallel lives or deeper connections across the planet or any of the great mysteries of life, but let's stay with what's here and now, with how we can help our children or help ourselves to live and love well today. Look beyond the dream symbols. Look at the emotions the dreamer feels. Young children's and everyone's dreams are indeed based on their experiences. Those experiences are the emotions they are encountering right now in everyday life and often struggling to handle. Begin there. And so the next blog article I'm going to read, which kind of segues into reading the article from, or the excerpts from Dream Alchemy that are all along this theme, this one is called As Above, So Below, and I wrote this one, you can find it on my blog, in December 2015, As Above, So Below. As above, so below. As within, so without. What do these ancient sayings mean to you? Legend has it that Hermes Trismegistus inscribed these words in Phoenician on the Emerald Tablet, somewhere between 1200 and 38,000 years ago. Yes, you did hear those dates correctly. No one knows where the tablet is now, or whether Hermes was a real person, a god, or a group of scholars, but the Emerald Tablet has been variously translated throughout the centuries and much debated. The text sets out the seven principles of alchemy, the main one being, as above, so below. Alchemy is a secret language, not what it appears to be. It's a symbolic language, speaking, for example, of transforming base metal into gold as a symbolic way of speaking about transforming base human consciousness into the gold of spiritual enlightenment. It's about keeping the magic in the hands of the masters, or protecting secret knowledge about sacred laws and the workings of the universe. One of the meanings of as above, so below is that the universe is reflected in everything, so that man, for example, is a microcosm of the universe. The argument goes that you cannot study man without studying the universe, and you cannot study the universe without studying man. But that because man generally lacks deep awareness of his inner world, his self, he can gain insight into his being by studying the heavens through cosmology, astrology, philosophy, God. I was reminded of as above, so below recently when I was having a conversation with someone about dreams and alchemy. I'm not an alchemist. I'm a dream alchemist, meaning that after I've analysed a dream and helped the dreamer understand more about her inner world, her inner self, I create, if desired, a dream alchemy practice to help her transform any limiting unconscious beliefs into new beliefs that support her in growing and thriving. In modern day terms, dream alchemy is a process of rewiring the brain or reprogramming the unconscious. In more exotic terms, the process works like magic, and the alchemists of old might liken it to the alchemical quest of transforming base metal into gold. In poetic terms, I take the elements, symbols, and emotions of a dream or nightmare, and spin and weave and polish them into a more positive, gleaming picture. I help the dreamer create a new dream seen and felt in her mind's eye within that results in a more positive, gleaming experience of waking life without, as within, so without. If that sounds reminiscent of NLP or the law of attraction, it's neither. The law of attraction is about creating a literal picture of what you would like to attract into your life, perhaps your ideal house, job, or relationship, and then focusing on this picture until it perhaps attracts said house, job, or relationship. NLP is also about working with the conscious mind. Dream Alchemy is about working with a dreamer's unconscious mind and with her dream symbols. It's getting down deep into the guts of the mindset, doing the rewiring by speaking the same language the unconscious used to express itself in a dream, the dream symbols and the dream story. Step back now to the basics. What is a dream? A dream is the experience you have while your brain and mind are processing your conscious and unconscious experiences of the last 1 to 2 days, trying to make sense of your world. Your dream might not look anything like your last couple of days, but if you take a closer look, you'll see correlations. For example, you'll see metaphors. Maybe a death dream when it feels like something is ending in your life, or a car without brakes when you feel things are getting out of control, or a house with an extra room when you're feeling expansive or finding more room in your life. Come to think of it, your dreams might be seen as a secret language, like alchemy, a microcosm reflecting the macrocosm, as without, so within. Dreaming is a two-way process. You dream to process your waking life experiences, to build a personal picture of the world as you uniquely perceive it. And then you wake up and experience waking life according to the personal picture that you have just laid down. As without, so within. As within, so without. But life is not, as it turns out, one long groundhog day. Things shift and change, subtly or dramatically. A surprising or traumatic waking life experience that shifts your perception is processed in your dream, and your personal picture, your mindset, changes accordingly. And then you wake up and experience waking life according to the new personal picture that you have just laid down in your dream. As without, so within. As within, so without. And so, we each dream our unique path through life, crafted by our unique perceptions of our experiences. And we each have the opportunity to wake up to our dreams, to know ourselves more deeply within, by studying our dreams. And, in so doing, to begin to see through the illusions of waking life to the true nature of the self and the universe. So, now we go on to my book Dream Alchemy, which is perhaps a little lighter than that and very, very practical. So this is Dream Alchemy, the ultimate guide to interpreting your dreams, which I first wrote in 2003. It has come out in second edition. It's still published by Hachette. It's still selling well. You can buy it as a paperback or as an ebook. And I thought what I've done in Dream Alchemy is I've picked more than 20 common recurring themes. And the theme we're going to be looking at today is the kind of dream where you dream that you're unprepared for the exam you're about to sit, or unprepared for the presentation that you've suddenly got to give. And so each chapter I've taken one of these sort of common recurring dream themes that we all experience from time to time and helped lead you through it, particularly finding the emotions, working out how it relates to your waking life, giving you some dream alchemy and so on. And then at the end of the book, I've written several chapters on how to approach the kind of dreams that aren't the kind of common recurring dreams that many of us have, the more unusual dreams, how to approach those. So the book kind of covers everything, but this one, and if you've got the book, I'm reading from page 82. So half reading and half explaining how Dream Alchemy, the book, works. So this one is about those kind of dreams where you're unprepared for the exam. And I've summarized it here. The dream, you are about to sit an exam or give a lecture or presentation, and you realize you are totally unprepared for it. And then I've got a little quote. It says, "By whose measure do you succeed or fail?" So each of these chapters is set out the same way, and then we move straight from there to look at various dream scenarios that your particular version of this recurring dream might present. So we've got in your dream, perhaps, and here are a list of possibilities. Perhaps you are back at school or university, about to sit an exam that you're unprepared for. When you wake up, you're puzzled because this is an exam you passed in waking life years ago. Or in your dream, perhaps you are about to sit an exam in a subject unrelated to anything you have ever studied before, either in the dream or in waking life, and you feel unprepared. Or in your dream, perhaps you have no idea about the subject of the exam. You cannot read or understand the questions. Or in your dream, perhaps, although you feel unprepared for the exam, you start to answer the questions and realize that you do know the answers. Or in your dream, perhaps, although you feel unprepared for the exam and do not know the answers, you start to answer them creatively and you're pleased with the results in the dream. Or in your dream, perhaps you walk into a lecture theatre or conference room to give a presentation and you see the attentive audience. You suddenly realise that you have not prepared adequately for this and you feel you're going to let yourself and the audience down. Or in your dream, perhaps you are about to sit an exam or give a presentation that you are about to face in waking life. You feel unprepared in the dream, but you are surprised when you wake up because you feel you have prepared very well for the actual event. Now, the next section then goes into how do you feel in your dream. And for each of these recurring dream themes, I've given a list of the kinds of emotions that different people feel. So you can basically go through these lists of emotions and pick the ones that you think, yeah, that's how I couldn't actually think how I felt in the dream, but I can go through this list and yes, that's the emotion that I feel in this dream. So for example, the lists for this dream are unprepared, inadequate, vulnerable, shocked, anxious, a sense of panic, fraudulent, embarrassed, surprised, resourceful, empowered, enlightened, dismayed, remiss, a sense of shame, guilty, unburdened. Then the next section looks at how your dream ends. So, you know, many people have this kind of theme, but that we all have our unique versions. But how does your dream end? And I've helped to sort of break it down and make it quite simple by starting by saying, well, positive changes are on the way if you find creative answers to the exam questions or creative ways of delivering your presentation that you know are good ones. Or positive changes are on the way if you realise you can only do your best in the given situation and apply yourself to doing exactly that. Or positive changes are on the way if in the dream you discover a new talent. Or positive changes are on the way if you realise that passing this exam or giving this presentation is no longer important to you, so you leave in the dream. Or positive changes are on the way if you help someone else to pass the exam in the dream or inspire someone in the audience. Then the other part of how does your dream end is it's time for a new approach if things are still not working out well by the end of your dream or if your audience walks out on you. The next section is then what your dream means. So it's taking a kind of simple overview that helps you to gives you guidelines to zoom into the actual meaning of your dream. What your dream means, your way forward may be blocked by, and here are a list of possibilities, your way forward may be blocked by feeling tested in one area of your waking life and reacting according to the kinds of beliefs and attitudes you had at school or college. These beliefs might include issues about authority, performance, proving yourself to others and pleasing or displeasing a parent or teacher, feeling judged or judging yourself harshly, living and thinking according to old-fashioned values and methods learned at school that are no longer appropriate for you today. Then the next section gives some clues on how to move forward, moving forward, if you have this kind of dream. Know that you are equal to all adults and to people in authority. You have no need to prove your worth to satisfy another's judgment. There are many right solutions to a problem or situation. Know that you are forever both student and teacher, and that testing situations are opportunities to change your approach or invent new ground. When you find yourself at a dream school sitting exams, you're probably feeling tested in waking life, perhaps at work, perhaps in a relationship, and you are responding as if you are still the school child or student you once were. Your old attitudes and beliefs live on, like comfortable old habits, ready to surface and take you by surprise when something in life resonates with your old memories. You find yourself in a testing situation and up pop the old school child fears. You're out there in an adult world, sporting an adult body, stumbling along like a child. As a child or student, did you want to win your parents' approval by doing well in exams, or to prove something to yourself or those in authority by performing well? Or did you want to draw attention to your needs by failing exams? Did you study to avoid emotional issues in your family? Are these things still important to you, or can you let these old habits go now? The dream audience represents your own judgment of your abilities. In dreams, you are the presenter and the audience, the teacher and the student. If a dream teacher is authoritarian, then you can be sure you carry strong beliefs about authority. If your dream audience boos your delivery, then you can be sure you carry strong beliefs about performance excellence. Your dreams look at extremes of thoughts and feeling so that you can find a balance between the two. Emotional issues aside, we easily become creatures of habit. At school, we are taught certain ways of thinking and doing, especially left-brain analytical ways. There are often better ways to solve problems or find creative solutions, and school exam dreams can sometimes be showing you just this. The old ways have left you unprepared for life today, so why not adopt a different approach? Are you unprepared in your dream but always prepared in your waking life, never missing a beat? In that case, I've got here, you might want to read another chapter, the recurring dream theme about always being late for an appointment. So the next section is then gives you some hints and clues about how to relate your dream to your waking life a little bit more deeply than we've done up to now. So in your life, it really gives you kind of scenarios to consider. In your life, this could be about a friend who is questioning the way you do something, a new skill you are developing or practicing, a criticism or judgment someone has just levelled at you, a competitive sport you are involved in, a teamwork situation or committee you belong to, your religion, the authority figures, the disciplines, the sermons, or your expected behaviour, your relationship with a work superior, parent, or critical partner, or meeting someone you want to impress. Then the next section reminds you that your unique dream contains personal clues only you may recognise, and gives some examples. Look for clues in dream puns. For example, dreaming of sitting an exam in clay modelling may give you a clue about a waking life situation that is testing your skills as a role model. Or another example, the score you achieve for your dream exam may give you a clue about a year. So 77% might represent 1977, or 28% might remind you of something that happened when you were 28. So, you know, these numbers can be significant to your feelings of being tested. And also the dream place where you are being tested may be a clue. The exam held in a church hall may be about your religion and how it tests you, rather than a throwback to sitting exams in drafty church halls. Then the next section looks at why has this dream come up for you now? And in each of these sections, I then list some questions for you to answer, saying that your answers to the questions will help reveal the reason for you for why this dream's come up for you now. So, for example, in this case of the dream of being unprepared for an exam or presentation, what feelings and emotions did you experience in your dream? Which situation in your life now do these feelings remind you of? Have you recently noticed yourself using language or expressions from your school days, or reacting more like a child than an adult? Have you recently felt insecure during a communication with someone or questioned your abilities? And so your answers to these questions may reveal the reason your dream has come up for you now. I'm only going to read one other small section because these chapters go on for quite a while, provide quite a lot of help. But the next section for each of these dream themes is then about a dream alchemy practice. And in each of these, I offer three kind of generalized dream alchemy practices that you might follow, or you just pick one that suits you if you have this kind of dream. And then I help you at the end of the book to work out how to actually personalize the dream alchemy practices really to suit the actual dream that you had. So for this one, I've got three possible dream alchemies. And I'll just read one of them. I'll read the visualization one, because for those of you that listen to the Dream Show quite a lot, when we have a guest on the Dream Show, I often do a dream alchemy visualization. So this will be familiar to you. But if you look at the book, you'll find that there's different kinds of dream alchemy practices that I've recommended here. So this one, for this kind of dream, being unprepared for the exam, I've got the third example of a dream alchemy practice is do this dream alchemy visualization 20 times a day for a week, then 10 times a day for the second week, then twice a day for the next month. Imagine yourself back in your dream about to sit the exam or give the presentation. Now imagine the feeling of finding creative and brilliant answers to the exam questions, or the feeling of delivering a stunning presentation to a rapturous applause. Now you don't need to think about what your answers are or about what you present. The dream alchemy practice works purely by summoning up the feeling of approaching your testing situation with a natural brilliance and with an astounding result. So really focus on the feeling in that visualization. So I won't read any more, but there is always another section for each of these common recurring dream themes, which I call glimmers of gold, glimmers of gold alchemy. And it goes through what to look for in the subsequent dreams you have that are markers showing you that change is happening, that because you've understood your dream theme and because you've done your dream alchemy practice, these things that are happening in subsequent dreams are signs that there is transformation taking place. So I go through that, and then I do a similar thing for your waking life. So I give you examples of the kind of things or situations or experiences that you might notice or have in waking life that are also signs that, yeah, something's happening, shifts and changes. So that's Dream Alchemy, and I think that's me and my voice at the end of another episode of The Dream Show. So I hope you've enjoyed this, and as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, if you haven't been a guest on The Dream Show before and you'd love to help us out in that way and also receive an interpretation and some help yourself, please go to janetheresa.com, click on The Dream Show or podcasts, and you'll find how to contact me or just email me. And we'd love to do that in the next week or so. And otherwise, do go to janetheresa.com and look at all the other wonderful resources and services and books and ebooks and things that there are there. And also, if you're not on our mailing list, our DreamSight News mailing list, do go to janetheresa.com, pop yourself on it. You only hear from me once a month on the last day of each month. So once you're on the list, that's all you get. But in that email, you get a lot. So if you're not on it, please go and do that. Go to janetheresa.com, click on newsletter, sign up. Have a wonderful, wonderful month till next we speak again. Our next episode of The Dream Show, 174, is due out on the 5th of February 2016, if you're listening to this in real time. If you want to listen to any of our past episodes of The Dream Show, the last 10 episodes are always on iTunes, and all of them are at janetheresa.com. Have a wonderful January, and again, a Happy New Year. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson.
The Dream Show is a production of Jane Theresa Anderson for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one in the Lifestyle Pod Network section of iTunes.